to Ad Bible, an audio daily devotion from the Ezra Project. We join Alan J. Huth as he shares Bible passages and comments from over 30 years of his personal Bible reading journals.
Today we are in 1 Samuel chapter 8, and we will listen to the recording from Faith Comes by Hearing, all 22 verses of 1 Samuel chapter 8.
1 Samuel 8. When Samuel became old, he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn son was Joel, and the name of his second, Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. Yet his sons did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after gain. They took bribes and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him,
"Behold, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint for us a king to judge us like all the nations."
But the thing displeased Samuel when they said,
"Give us a king to judge us."
And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel,
"Obey the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. According to all the deeds that they have done, from the day I brought them up out of Egypt even to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are also doing to you. Now then, obey their voice. Only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them."
So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking for a king from him. He said,
"These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. And he will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his implements of war and the equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his servants. He will take the tenth of your grain and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and to his servants. He will take your male servants and female servants and the best of your young men and your donkeys and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your flocks and you shall be his slaves. And in that day you will cry out because of your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves, but the Lord will not answer you in that day."
But the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said,
"No, but there shall be a king over us, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles."
And when Samuel had heard all the words of the people, he repeated them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel,
"Obey their voice and make them a king."
Samuel then said to the men of Israel,
"Go, every man to his city."
In 1983, in my journal, I wrote, people asked Samuel for a king because Samuel's sons were corrupt leaders. They wanted to be like other nations. They wanted more distance from God's direct leadership. The whole concept of Israel asking for a king is a major transition in the nation of Israel. It appears that it's because of Samuel's corrupt sons that the Israelites are asking for a king. But that's not really the case, is it? The real reason is recorded in verse 7. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Obey the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them." He goes on to say, "According to all the deeds that they have done from the day I brought them up out of Egypt even to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are also doing to you. Now then, obey their voice. Only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall rule over them." So it's not really about Samuel's sons, is it? It's about a nation who over and over and over has rejected the Lord and finally now wants human leadership, not godly leadership. In 2007, after reading this passage, I wrote something a little bit different. I wrote, Samuel's sons, Joel and Abijah, did not walk in his ways, but turned aside, like Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas. This is the hard part of my life. I did all I could to raise my children to serve the Lord, the God of their father. Two of three so far have decided not to, and it breaks my heart, like it broke the heart of Eli and Samuel. My kids are not evil or corrupt, just spiritually misdirected. Lord, bring them back to the God of their father. That's what I wrote as I wrote a prayer in my journal that year, crying out for my kids. Bring them back. Honor the prayers of their parents. Please, O God. So as parents, maybe you are listening to this podcast today and you're thinking, yes, that's what happened to me. I did all I could to raise my kids right in a Christian home, and it didn't turn out for me well either. Part of these podcasts are sharing the reality of life, and that's what happened to us. We read the Bible to our kids every night. We took them to church. We thought we raised them as well as we could in the Lord. And yet all of us make our own choices, don't we? But I could relate to Eli and his sons, and I could relate to Samuel and his sons, as they probably cried out for their kids. We parents cry out for ours, don't we? So let's take a moment to contemplate this lesson today from 1 Samuel 8. For those of us who have children who are misdirected spiritually, we're going to pray. And for those of us who have had better luck with our kids following the Lord, hopefully you will take a moment today to thank God for that wonderful opportunity that you've seen in your own lives. So, Lord, we do lift up children of Christian parents today. It doesn't always turn out the way we think, the way we want, but it's not over. Our kids still can return to you, just like we read yesterday in 1 Samuel. But we lift up all the children of Christian parents who are not walking with the Lord or not walking in the way that seems like following in their father's footsteps. We ask you, Lord, to intervene, to touch the hearts of our children and bring them back to you. And as we think about our kids, I look back at my journal entry back in 2002. When I read this passage, I wrote, "We want to be like others. God wants us to be like Him. He calls us to be holy, a royal priesthood, separated from the world, sons of a king, servants of the Most High, a separated walk, give up self and follow Him. But we want to be like others. He wants us to be like Him." So I guess God had a little bit of trouble with His kids too, right? The family of Israel. And so we want our kids to be like us. We want our kids to be like God. Father, hear our prayer. Help us as we pray that and watch our kids come back to you. Well, back to the story about Mom for a minute. I have a surprising entry on this day in that journal in 2002. I wrote, "Dad admitted to emergency room at Penrose yesterday. Both parents are in the hospital. Going down tonight." So there, my mom was in the hospital on one floor, and then my father was admitted on the other floor. And I'll have to pick up the story later on in these journals in the next few days to find out what happened to Dad and what's happening to Mom. Well, we've already prayed for our kids today, so Father, we just ask again, touch our children. Draw them close to you. Draw them back into relationship with you, that you may receive the glory and the honor as you do so. In Jesus' name, we do pray it because we really want this in our heart of hearts. Amen.